The Easter season culminates today with the Feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days into the Easter season. And the Feast of Pentecost was actually a Jewish feast day before it became a Christian feast day. And it was a feast day that commemorated the descent of God in a pillar of fire on Mount Sinai. So after Israel had escaped from Egypt, they traveled 50 days into the desert, and on the 50th day, God descended in a pillar of fire. We have the true Passover with Jesus Christ that he celebrated. On the 50th day following that, the Holy Spirit descended in tongues of fire. And so what happened on Mount Sinai was actually prefiguring what would happen with the true feast day of Pentecost, which we celebrate today. And none of the Gospels describe Pentecost. They end with the post-resurrection accounts of Jesus. It's only Acts of the Apostles that describes Pentecost, which is why we don't hear in today's Gospel the event of Pentecost. But what we do hear is something that Jesus taught us about the Holy Spirit. He used living waters as a metaphor or an image for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he said, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. And he said this in reference to the Spirit. And so as his followers, the Holy Spirit should be flowing through us like rivers. You know, not just a trickle, but the power of God should be flowing through us. And so when we look at the Holy Spirit, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. You know, he is the third person of the Trinity. And so we can pray to the Holy Spirit, and we should have a relationship with him. You know, just like we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ, you know, we should have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, I think sometimes people think of the Holy Spirit as like an impersonal force. But we can and should have a relationship with him. And it's the Holy Spirit that lives within us as Christians and transforms us inwardly. And, you know, what does that look like? Well, people who are scared can be given great courage through the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can give us the words that we need to speak in order to preach the gospel to someone or to teach the faith to one of our children or someone we meet. It's the Holy Spirit that can help us overcome sin that we're struggling with. Now, there's some gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to individuals. There's other gifts that are given to the church. So what are some of the gifts that are given to the church? Well, one example would be sacred scripture. The Bible is given to us through the Holy Spirit because the authors of scripture were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down what God desired them to write. And so how can we say that scripture, the Bible, is the word of God? It's because the Holy Spirit inspired the authors. And so scripture is a gift that's given to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is also active in guiding the teaching of the church. How do we know that what the church teaches is true? Well, because Jesus Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit upon the church to guide the church in truth. And so the official teachings of the church that are defined by the Pope and the bishops are guaranteed to be true by the Holy Spirit. And so the church will never fall into error in her official teachings on matters of faith and morals. That doesn't mean that an individual bishop or priest couldn't be wrong, but the official teachings of the church are guaranteed to be true. And the Holy Spirit also works through the sacraments. You know, every time a sacrament is performed, it's the Holy Spirit that's bringing that grace about. So when a child is baptized and they're washed clean from sin and become a temple of God, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And in confirmation, we receive the full outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or in the Holy Eucharist, you know, a priest will call down the Holy Spirit upon the gifts of bread and wine in order to transform them into the body and blood of Christ. You know, that's the first time that the servers ring the bell, when the priest extends his hands over the bread and wine. That's when the Holy Spirit descends upon those gifts. One of the titles that we give to the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. Sanctify means to make holy. And you can find that in Romans chapter 15. St. Paul says we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us holy. And the sacraments are a very important way that the Holy Spirit does that. But they're not the only way. You know, there's other ways that the Holy Spirit can work. You know, the Holy Spirit can inspire us to do some good work. You know, the Holy Spirit could move us inwardly to say, hey, you know, this person needs assistance here. Or call this person, they might be lonely. You know, the Holy Spirit could warn us against doing evil. You know, if there's something evil that we're tempted to do, there could be something within us that warns us and says, don't do that. You know, that's the Holy Spirit at work within us. You know, or the Holy Spirit could, you know, nudge us to go to confession. Be like, hey, you really need to go to confession right now. Or to pray for someone in particular. You know, sometimes there might be someone who comes to our mind that all of a sudden that, hey, maybe I should pray for this person. You know, those are all ways in which the Holy Spirit could work within us. You know, the Holy Spirit can help us to know the truth and to find it within the teachings of the church. You know, or the Holy Spirit could nudge us to stop daydreaming in a homily and be like, hey, pay attention here, this is important. And so there's different ways that the Holy Spirit works within us in order to lead us on a path to holiness. So on our part, it's important to train ourselves to be docile to the movements of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's probably not a virtue that we commonly think of, you know, to be docile. You know, often people want to be leaders. They want to choose their own path. You know, being docile is not probably something we think about a lot in the spiritual life. But what that means is that we humble ourselves and seek the will of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to govern our thoughts and to govern our imagination, to govern our actions. And so that's when we conform ourselves to the will of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to give inspiration to us to grow in holiness. So the more docile we are to the Holy Spirit, the more we'll respond and hear what the Holy Spirit's trying to do within us. Chances are, for every single one of us, there's probably a lot of times that we need to repent when we haven't been listening or we haven't been docile to the movements of the Holy Spirit, where we've missed those inspirations. It probably happens on a daily basis. But the more docile we are, the more the Holy Spirit can act through us with power to accomplish His will. If we want the perfect example of docility to the Holy Spirit, it would be the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was perfectly docile and allowed the grace of God to work through her. And she was fully receptive to the Holy Spirit. And so she allowed grace to flow through her in a very powerful way. And so as we celebrate this Pentecost, first we affirm our faith in the Holy Spirit, that He is truly God, that He is our sanctifier, and that we desire to be in a relationship with Him. And second, we're grateful for the gifts that He's given to the church, that we are all the beneficiaries of, the gifts of Scripture, the gift of truth, and the gift of the sacraments. And we're grateful for the constant inspiration of the Holy Spirit within ourselves, the inspirations that are meant to lead us to a deeper holiness. And we pray that we might be more docile and we might seek to be responsive and to listen to those promptings of the Holy Spirit so that we can grow deeper in holiness and allow the power of God to work through us.